Welcome to Across the Desk and our new series, The Future Looks Good. We're focusing on autism and employment and connecting you to resources that can help your future look good.
You are the future. The future looks good.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Across the Desk. We're continuing our series on The Future Looks Good. And the lovely Paulette Goddard joins me again today.
Hello, everyone.
There we go. She's remembering that you can't see us.
But I'm still waving.
She's waving and she's, you know, nodding, which is awesome, except, you know, nobody can see that. But that's okay. So full disclosure, I have had a back injury since you heard us last. So if you hear some periodic, it could be that I tried to move the wrong way. We're going to try and not do that, but, you know, I just want to be transparent. And so the last time we met, we started talking about change and demonstrating or helping people to understand what change actually is and making it really clear that we don't see change as applied to the autism community, something that has to do with changing your personality or who you are, something you should be forced to do or what have you. This is optional change. And we were just reviewing another course that we're going to be offering shortly through the John C. Maxwell Foundation. And what was it talking about there, Paulette, quickly? It was about responsibility and...
Relationships, responsibility.
No, the thing to change, you said you really liked how they phrased, do you remember?
No, I don't remember, but I do like the way that the course was laid out, and it talks about change in a positive way.
Yeah.
Different steps to move towards change, but it's nothing.
No shaming or anything like that involved. It's empowering.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm not a fan of that word, but sometimes you just got to use it.
Yeah.
It just is. So what we're going to move into today is we're going to continue talking about change. And then we've got more stuff for next week. So we'll move off of change. But change is such a huge thing, especially for people on the spectrum, because I think there's, you know, there's a conversation that Paulette and I had about another course that we're going to be doing involving autism and leadership. And that is hardly ever discussed, which is sad, because there's huge opportunities within the autism community to build leadership skills and either use them just personally or use them within the workplace or school or whatever. The flip side of that is that change, I think, becomes a real hot button topic because there are those, for lack of organizations or people or whatever, who believe that people on the spectrum have to change in order to succeed. And we don't. We believe that whatever your goal is, you know, you change whatever you need to achieve that if something is getting in the way. Mm. So it's choice. That's what it was. We really liked how in the other course, it was all about choice. You choose what you want to change. You choose how you change it. You choose who helps you. You choose, you choose. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, something that everybody has to remember.
It's the individual's choice and the individual's motivation to change.
Yeah, agreed.
You can't make a person do something different. They have to be able to do it on their own.
Well, you can try, but I mean, it's setting it up for frustration and aggravation and bad relationships and all kinds of other stuff. So no bueno.
Okay.
Like they say on The Incredibles, no capes, no forcing change. I like Edna Mode. She's one of my favorite people.
Okay.
She's a bit of a no crap taker. So we're going to be talking today about how to have a conversation about change, why self-motivation is really important around change, building your support network and what that looks like, because change is hard for anybody. And having some kind of accountability buddy or somebody you can ask questions of or whatever is really important to anybody's... Sorry, a bird just landed on the screen outside my window. I don't... Oh, COVID. COVID, you funny little duck. Weird stuff. And then the last bit, we'll talk briefly about some tools for change. So, Ms. Paulette.
Yes.
Conversations about change. This is something you do all the time. So tell us a little bit about how this happens for you and your clients.
Well, for me and my clients, either it's the client themselves or their parents come to me saying they want something different for their child's life. So whether that difference is completing school, getting a job, doing volunteer work, getting out of the house, turning off the internet, turning off their gaming systems, that's all change. Now, why do people get stuck at home playing video games all the time? Mm-hmm. Because change is scary. Change is something that is not easy to do. When you're very comfortable in your world and you like to just sit in your world and do video games all the time, change is a big scary monster. But there comes a time when you don't want to sit in your room alone anymore playing video games. You want to actually socialize, interact, get a job, get some money so you can do what you want to do with your life. And that's part of the change that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So not all people want to change. Everybody changes at their own time frame. My son, when he decided to change, he was 23, 24 when he started college. He did not want to do anything but work part-time up until that point, which is, you know, he decided he wanted to change because he realized he was working in a dead-end job without anything happening and no money coming in, minimum wage for the rest of his life unless he changed.
Yeah.
And that's, so the reason for change is very clear.
And the interesting thing is that you can get stuck in that comfort zone you were just talking about. And before you know it, 10 years has passed.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing positive is going on in your life. Mm-hmm. So the more firmly entrenched you become in that habit, mm-hmm. sometimes the more challenging it can be to break it. So have you discovered, right? So you made a really valid point at the beginning that sometimes it's the person coming to you for help. Sometimes it's the parent saying, you know, what if, just for giggles, what if the person is ready for the change, but the parents are not? Or the support network that's currently in place is not ready for that change?
It's a matter of assessing skill sets. Because if the person wants to change and wants to move forward, I'm there. I'm willing to help them. But if the parents don't want them to do what they want to do, yeah. what can we do to find that's a compromise? What can we find that will give both people what they want?
Create a win.
Yeah. But parents do have to realize that they have to let their kids go. They have to let them go and try something new. Mm-hmm. If they succeed, awesome. If they don't, they will learn from their failures.
Failure is necessary.
Right. So this is, again, just another part of the process. If somebody comes to me, and someone did come to me one day and say, I want to be the Prime Minister of Canada.
Oh, you mentioned that. Yeah. That could be a challenge.
Okay, let's figure out what you have to do to get there. And they said, I'm not doing that. And I said, okay, then let's figure out something else. Again, you have to figure out where the person is, what they need, and how to get there. Right? Mm-hmm.
So if you are somebody who's looking to change and you know there's going to be some resistance, because, you know, depending on your age, there are a wide variety of people that could be available to you to support whatever you're trying to do. If you are like, so we start out working with the, you know, 18 plus, and typically, you know, 18 to 28, and not to put a stereotype on anybody, but especially, well, actually this is neurotypically as well. People mm-hmm. are living at home longer. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's expensive to get out there. It's expensive to support yourself, whatever, whatever. I have to tell you as a parent, I'm not looking forward to that long runway, but it is what it is. So it's a good idea, right? Because if the person you're trying to get on your side to support your change, you know, and Paulette and I talked about this before. So what would you say, Paulette, is a good plan to have in place before having that conversation?
The plan, it'd be to have the plan. If the individual on the spectrum has a plan and the steps necessary to get to where they want to go and are willing to take those steps, to bring that information to the parents and say, this is what I'm going to do. And then have the parents understand that they're more than capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. I've mediated between clients and parents before. This is what they want. This is where they want to go. it's going to take them X amount of time to get there. So it's not like they're going to be moving out, living on their own, and finishing university next week.
Right.
So this is what the plan is, and this is the timeline. If you put the timeline in, the parents step back a little bit and go, okay, it's not happening tomorrow. So sometimes it's that negotiation part, that mediation that you need between the client and the parents, because mm-hmm. sometimes they're on such totally different pages as to where their child should be. And you have to find that middle ground. Mm-hmm.
And that's, so just to clarify, you don't have to have the entire plan ready to go before having the conversation, but it is a good idea to sit down and really think through what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And every plan requires revision for everything. It's very, very rare that a plan is enacted fully formed right from the get-go. No. Especially for something as complicated. Actually, I'm not going to say that. That's negative. Especially for something as important as progressing towards a goal or implementing some personal change. Mm-hmm. We're just suggesting that you have some talking points available. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'd like to work on. Here's why. Because the parent or support network might see it coming out of left field. But meanwhile, right? So it's not... Actually, here's the bigger point. This conversation isn't new to you. You wanting to change isn't new to you. You've been thinking about this for a while, potentially. You've mm-hmm. been going over the pros and cons. You've been experiencing your life and what's not working for you. And perhaps the people that are immediate to you haven't seen any of that. Mm-hmm. So you have to remember that this is new to them mm-hmm. and have those talking points in place. And I just realized... No, she's leaving. It's okay. Sorry. This is one of the challenges of working from home. Yeah. We are having a big bag of soil delivered and my daughter has parked in the driveway. And if they come right now, they can't get in. Distractions. COVID, you tricky minx. Yeah. So some talking points, not a fully fledged plan.
No, but when you think about that, most of the people come to me because they want their child to be employed. Okay. These are 16, 17, 18 year olds, never done volunteer work, never did a co-op placement, do not have any work experience. So they're not going to get a job until they show that they have work experience. So that's a road that you have to take. It's a path. The end destination is employment. Mm-hmm. But the path to get there has many stops, detours, jumps, changes, alterations. Like there's nothing clear. If the goal is my kid needs to work and the kid says, I want a job.
You're on the same path. It's just how you get there is.
Yeah. It's not as clear cut as some people. And some people say, well, my kid wants to be independent. Well, that's a very broad definition of change. Mm-hmm. Become independent means what?
Yeah. Right. What steps can we create?
Yeah.
But that's the beginning of that conversation. The other thing we have down here is any kind of change. So I've been working with an organization for the last 6 years called Spark the Change Toronto. And the focus of Spark the Change Toronto is change management mm-hmm. and agile work practices. And mm-hmm. it's broader than that. And it's much broader than that. And some of the conversations we've had about fear in the workplace, fear moving forward on projects, other things are how you turn your dreams into work projects. You know, there's honestly, if you were to look at the curriculum we've offered in the past 5 years, it's been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that is universal to any kind of change is creating buy-in. Mm-hmm. And what that means is you present your case in such a way that the person you're sharing that with sees and understands the importance to you and can connect to it on some level. If there's no connection for that person to what you're trying to do, it becomes really challenging to provide support. So creating buy-in is extremely important and actually leads into the next thing that we're going to chat about, which is self-motivation, mm-hmm. which is key. So what have you seen as far as self-motivation being successful for people when they're trying to move forward?
For most people that I've supported moving forward, if they are in agreement with their parents that they have to do X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. they're saying, yep, I'm ready, it's successful. If they come and the parents say he needs a job, get him a job, it's not successful. The person, it has to come from the person. The person has to say, I'm really stuck. I'm really not liking where I am. I really want to do something different with my life.
Yep.
And my dream is here, somewhere in left field. What are the steps to get there?
Yeah.
And that self-motivation is extremely important.
And that's personal buy-in.
Yeah.
You have to buy into your own plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and within that buy-in, you have to be able to say that I'm ready for it. And understand that if you're not ready for it, there's steps to get ready for it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to all happen at once.
There's a lot of things to think about. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that we're working on is how to evaluate people's mindset around change. Mm-hmm. And I think we touched on it briefly in the last podcast. It's the difference between being forced and being pushed.
Yeah.
And forced never works. Never works. It just, you know, it will fail at some point, and it can fail quite spectacularly. Mm-hmm. However, being pushed can be really important, right? And I'll personalize this in that I am awful for exercising. Just mm-hmm. I eat relatively healthy. I don't smoke. I don't really drink, like maybe once every couple of months. Don't take any prescription meds. Don't do any wacky tobacky, like just none of that stuff. So overall, my health picture is quite good. However, I don't exercise. And as a result, I'm gaining weight. I'm not happy about that. And as a result, last week, I ended up with a very severe muscle spasm. Don't know what triggered it other than lack of activity. And I have trained off and on in the gym and with personal people for years, but have never had buy-in. So consequently, it has never stuck. And I have, you know, wasted thousands of dollars on the gym. However, I said to Paulette today before we got on, if I think about it as physiotherapy, where I'm correcting a situation and there's, you know, it's not just random, just go exercise. No. I have to do this because it's physiotherapy. Well, that I can get on board with. Bizarre, but true. I'm letting you in on a little bit of my crazy. So once COVID is sorted out, mm-hmm. and actually I have somebody that I could get on board with me now, changing that mindset of self-care mm-hmm. to physio, creating, you know, that's probably going to work for me, which is, so look at your mindset around change and what you're trying to do
mm-hmm.
and really examine on your, you know, on the piece of paper that you've used to make your case to change. Is my mindset ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen it, Paulette, where people come in with one emotional state around why they're there and that shifts? If they go from being forced to being pushed, because pushed is a
very gentle term in the way we're doing
it. Or being encouraged.
Like, yeah. And if you use the push, the encouragement appropriately, yes, they shift, they change because they realize that there's something out there that they can do.
Yeah.
Because they come in with the mindset of, to do that job, I must have a university degree.
Yeah.
And I go, well, have you thought about trying to get something junior to that or volunteer to that or something different that you do not have to have the university degree? And they go, what? And again, it's not the job, but it's a step towards the job.
A different perception.
Yeah. And it's changing that mindset that they have about, well, I can't go to university for 4 years. Well, no, but there's other types of schools that you can go to that are very specific to the skill set that you want.
Yep.
One of my clients wanted to be in cybersecurity. There you go. To be in cybersecurity, you must have a master's degree.
Really?
Yeah. But that's the level of the highest level. You can do cybersecurity in different components if you go to a different types of education to get there. It's not that you're going to be a cybersecurity leader of the world with your master's degree. Make it realistic.
Makes me think of Pinky and the Brain.
There you go. Take over the world. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that we keep referring back to over the last two topics that we've been covering, right? So we're talking about how to have the conversation about change and get that started, mm-hmm. how important self-motivation and mindset is into the success of the change. And one of the things is also your support network, because changing on your own can be quite challenging. Mm-hmm. Does it happen? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It can be in response to feedback. It can be in response to a number of different things. Or, you know, if you're like Paulette and I and you're a lifelong learner, like we're always reading. Mm-hmm. Or, well, having said that, our conversation before this was about a book series that Paulette's amazing for my mental health, because she's an avid reader, but she reads things that I normally wouldn't. And so what are we reading right now? It's a combination of like medieval magic and science, necromancers, and what's that?
Science fiction fantasy crossover.
I don't know about the science fiction part, but it's definitely like a fantasy magic situation. Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. So we were having this great conversation about these two characters and what was happening. But we also read, like we're just exploring the course that we're going to offer. And both of us got stuff out of the outlines that have been created to teach the course. Mm-hmm. So that exposure to different educational opportunities can influence what you're going to move forward with and how you approach the change you're going to make. Mm-hmm. So support network. And it was interesting because we went through what we were going to talk about with that. And Paulette made a really, really valid point that it mostly depends on what you're trying to do. Yep. So how would you say, Paulette, that that's influenced some of your clients?
Most of my clients come to me because they need help with either college and university or with getting a job. Mm-hmm. But then when the clients get there and the parents aren't there anymore, they have different goals.
Yep.
Right. So it depends on what type of goal. Some things you go to your parents for, but a lot of people, especially teenagers and young adults, they don't want to talk to their parents about their goals. They don't want their parents to support them anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to take a step back. So they have different ways of getting towards their goals. I've had many people come to me because their parents and they all want to get a job. But then they say, but I don't have any friends and I'd like to develop relationships. What can I do in that area?
Sorry, I was distracting her because my back seized up and I had to stretch and she's watching me while I do that. Sorry.
So it's one of those things you have to think about, because the parents might see the goal as being employment. Mm-hmm. The person might see the goal as, if I get a job, do you think there'll be people there that I can talk to and be friends with and hang out with? It's still the same goal.
And so, the point of that example, go ahead.
They don't want to talk to their parents about making friends because their parents aren't in that realm anymore. They're adults. They're supposed to do it on their own.
Well, they're as a parent, it's hard to see your kid mm-hmm. at a certain age not have the social circle that you would expect them to. Having said that, mm-hmm. so I have two kids. My son has Asperger's and my daughter is neurotypical. She's like her mother, does not have a wide circle of friends. She's very social and she's very active on Instagram. Nessa Poof, she's a bodybuilder. But she's like me, and she chooses to have select friends that add quality to her life versus a lot of superficial friendships. Mm-hmm. So, but parents perceive that, you know, you need to have lots of friends. Maybe that's what they grew up with. Maybe that's what they're comfortable with, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that can put undue and unnecessary pressure. If you end up with one good friend mm-hmm. in your life, thumbs up.
Yeah.
Because I would rather have one really good quality friend than like 50
superficial
crappy friends, for lack of better.
Yeah.
So parents, so let's go through these different roles. So we talked about parents, counselors, mm-hmm. teachers, and friends. And so we came up with some examples of how parents can be extremely mm-hmm. effective in a support role do you want to go through the list?
Well, there's lots of things parents can help you with. Parents help you with the stuff that you need to learn for living. So I've had lots of parents do this, teaching them about the home routine, the structure, the house cleaning, the laundry, all of those natural things that all kids should be learning. That's stuff that the parents help with. The parents can help with getting more socially active, getting them out of the house and doing different things, going to movies, going to restaurants, doing all that kind of fun stuff for the social aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Showing them where there's different support groups or social groups for people on the spectrum and getting them involved in some of those groups. Parents are really good at that. But sometimes the kids say, well, I don't want my mom to help me with that anymore. I don't want to be seen at the social group with my mom anymore.
Well, mom can just drop you off and then hit the road.
Yeah. That's, again, setting up parameters around all the things that are happening. So that's one of the things that parents are good at. Parents are also good at saying, okay, I know you're having a struggle with getting to work today, so you don't have to take the bus, I'll drive you. Again, it's just that little encouragement, that little push that some need because their anxiety takes over.
Yeah.
So understanding the individual person and what supports they need in the moment. Now, the next level of support we have is counselors or coaches.
Now, I'm going to interrupt for just 1 second. Yes. In that, parents, mm-hmm. One of the things that I keep hearing very frequently about is really weird sleep habits because people are getting on the Wi-Fi and, you know, doing whatever. Yes. And this may sound awful, but I've done it. I allowed my son access to the internet, but then I put a parental control on him mm-hmm. and cut him off at 10 o'clock at night. And he also didn't have a data plan on his phone. And that might sound harsh, but that is actually helpful because the world does not operate from midnight to 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And achieving your goals, if it's going to school, getting a job, making friends, whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't happen at that time. And anybody who wants to be friends at midnight, that's not going to end well.
There's a lot of different things to think about in that.
Yeah.
One of the things I run up with the nocturnal person mm-hmm. is, why bother? I've got nothing else to do. They don't have a purpose in their life. So what's the purpose? What do they need to do? What is the purpose? Yeah. They're not going to switch from nocturnal to being fully awake during the day unless they have a purpose. And that's where you have to know the individual client.
It's also chicken egg, right? So if you don't fix the nocturnal habit, you can't fix finding a purpose.
Yeah.
So your pain point has to come in between that.
Yeah. But sometimes they come together. Finding yes. the purpose and getting that purpose happening will help them switch their schedule of sleep.
Yes.
If you just say, well, wake up earlier, you'll be fine.
No.
They'll wake up and go, what do I do now? Because I usually spend my time gaming with people from Korea and the other side of the world. They're awake in the middle of the night. They're not awake during the day. So what do I do now? So you have
find to find some Canadian people.
They're not the same.
You know what I mean? Find some people in your time zone is what you do.
and there's actually one of my clients is moving to a different time zone so he can game with the people he wants to do.
Oh my goodness. So,
but again, it's what is important in your life. This and gentleman that's moving for gaming in a different time zone also works full time. So he's okay.
As long as it's working and it's not causing, you know, disruption.
He's able to work full-time successfully and game. He just wants to do a little couple more hours of gaming a day and moving to a different time zone will help him.
Well, see, now my kid was getting up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to chit-chat with somebody in I don't know where. Mm-hmm. And he was in school at the time. And this was interrupting his ability to function during the day and just goes against what our family does as a routine and what have you. So I was like, no bueno. Like that's
high school student too.
What's that?
Right. That's a high school student.
Could have been high school, could have been when he was at Sheridan, not sure, but it was it was not a good habit to be getting into.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So support networkers. So that's parents. So sometimes when parents do stuff like that, it could be perceived as a force, but it is a bit of a push. Counselors and coaches.
Counselors and coaches are there for when, especially when the person on the spectrum has said, I don't want you to help me with this anymore.
Yeah. Doesn't want parents to help anymore.
Yeah. No parent. They don't want the parents to be involved. They want to do it on their own, but they don't know how to do it on their own. So they go to a coach or a counselor. The coach and counselor helps with the navigating of big changes or small changes, or just putting in different structures, routines, or habits for the person. Mm-hmm. It helps, you know, for me, a lot of the coaching I do also works with a component of how to manage anxiety because any change could cause some anxiety to happen. So it's part of the process. What can you do to help the person move forward?
Yep. Helps deal with mental health issues. Those are kind of hard to deal with parents. You don't want to admit or talk about how good or bad or ugly it might be because parents worry.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and if you can have that conversation with your parents, booyah.
Yeah.
And then
a lot of people do have that conversation with their parents.
Teachers.
Teachers are in school to high school to give you a different perspective. Teachers in college and university, the professors and the support staff in colleges and universities help you navigate the system and help you keep on top of things to meet your goals. So if you have executive functioning challenges and you're having trouble planning and organizing all your classwork, that's what those people are there for. They're there to help you do that, to keep things structured and organized so that you can meet the deadlines for your components of work within the school system. Some of my clients come to me for that as well. So again, do you need help structuring your life so that you can complete all the tasks required in a college or university program?
Or job.
Parents often step in and help with that, but it's not the same kind of help as a professional would give. It's more of a parent directing a child. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they direct the child too much, whereas the coach would say, this is what you have to do, go do it.
Yeah.
And give it a try. And not every day going, you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. Yeah. So it's not that pushing, nagging person. It's a coach that's giving it at a different perspective.
And that could also include mentors. So if you happen to, you know, be on the job and you have a manager or somebody on your team who's willing to become a mentor, a mentor is somebody who guides you, no payment in the transaction, and ultimately it's to help you achieve better. So mentors are something that, and we've only got a couple of minutes left, but maybe we can touch on mentors another time. Now here's the one that can be kind of tricky because a lot of us turn to our friends for support, especially when we're navigating something new in life or what have you. The challenge around friends and actually anybody on, I'm going to lump friends and parents is that they may have their own agenda. And when you decide to change something about your situation, that does a couple of things to the people within your network. If you have, for an example, a parent who identifies very strongly as being a parent with a dependent kid and you're trying to become independent, that can trigger a bit of fear for them and they might not be as supportive as you need to. Likewise, if you have friends in your network who are afraid to change and afraid to take the steps that you're looking to take, again, they may have the agenda that, well, if I help them change, then I have to look at my life and I have to change, and that's no good because I'm not ready for that, so I'm not going to be helpful, and I'm actually going to dissuade you from changing because that works better for me. Is that everybody? Absolutely not, but it is worthwhile being aware that that mindset does exist and you need to be prepared to face that. So with friends, absolutely. There's ways to get to be a part of groups and organizations and make new friends who are on board with change and want you to succeed.
That's there's a lot of different support groups out there too. And people go, well, I'm not going to a support group. But support groups, again, are just somewhere where you can go and sit and listen. You don't have to talk, but you can hear what other people are doing, what they're doing, and how they're doing to change. And if you want to talk to one of them, you can. So it's a friend, could be a support group friend.
Yep. Right?
You have to make sure you're talking to the person that's going to help you.
We're finding that with Living Life to the Full. When we had that first session and everybody was sharing their interests, you could see an immediate change in the group of, oh, you like to read? I like to read. Oh, you like music? I like music. You like to go bowling? I'll go bowling with you. Yep. And it was absolutely amazing to watch how quickly these social connections came out of this group. It's a support group that we're running.
Yeah.
So it can happen.
It can happen and it does happen. And I've seen from some of the groups that I've taught in the past, lifelong friendships emerge.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see that because these people are still together after 7 years. So they're still hanging out. They're not hanging out every day, 7 days a week, but they might see each other once every 2 or 3 weeks, but they're still hanging out.
Which is awesome.
That's what a friendship is, right?
So I think what we're going to do actually is we're going to hold it here, mm-hmm. and we'll do a short podcast another time. And we'll, the last part of what we were going to talk about today was the tools to be able to do what you want to do. But I think that deserves some time on its own, because we'll have a list of specific resources that you can look at. You're giving me the finger.
No, I'm not. It actually ties into our next week's topic is
potential. Oh, true.
When you think about it, is gathering your skills. So if you're going to gather your skills towards change, you need the tools that you're going to be using. So again, tools for change and the things you need to move mm-hmm. towards change. It's all something we can talk about in the next podcast.
We're just making that executive decision right now. Damn it. We're not going to talk anymore. And we'll move on to tools next week. And Paulette's got an incredible archive of tools that she's used very successfully. And when we say tools, we're not talking that you have to buy anything or whatever. No. It could be as simple as a planning sheet. They could be as simple as how you can hack your phone, how you can use Google to do a variety of things. I mean, there's so many things in place. But tools are the key to sustained success mm-hmm. and to tracking your success. And that's one point we'll touch on next week. So to sum up for today, so we're starting to move into change. So if there's something that you've been working on in your life, then hopefully this has inspired you to lay down a bit of a plan. And if that plan is nothing more than just your thoughts around what you want to change in your life, fantastic. Mm-hmm. If that plan is more developed and you do some preliminary research on groups or organizations or professionals that could give you a hand, amazing. And then you can even start having that conversation with yourself, mm-hmm. right? I'm a huge person. If I have to have a particularly important conversation, I'll run that scenario with myself a few times, just so that I can, you know, there might be some key messages I want to remember to include, or I think of a better way to say things or what have you. There's a whole whack of stuff, tiny little things that you can be doing right now to start thinking about if there's something that you want to improve in your life, if you want to make progress towards something, just start writing your ideas down. Mm-hmm. Just start there. And, you know, if you're more comfortable typing it into your phone, do that. If you're a pen and paper person like I am, fine. I mean, there's notebooks are a dime a dozen, so you can grab a little notebook and start collecting your thoughts. Start looking up some TED Talks on change, or, you know, we'll have more resources and tools next week to do that with, but just some seeds to get growing, to put in a little spring analogy, because spring is supposed to be coming. I don't know where you might be listening from, but Ontario right now has the most wackadoodle weather I have ever. I mean, like today.
Well, it's snowed today, so we're okay.
It seems to be fine today, but like we go one day sun, 3 days like rainy, crappy, holy crap. And then in one day we can get, what, one day we had rain, snow, hail, mm-hmm. and something else, and then blue skies. And it was like, oh, you little nut job. So hopefully this is, I thought I felt the Chinook the other day, so. Here's hoping that that changes in the wind and we're going to be getting some decent spring or something. We can get outside and be less COVID crazy.
That's it. There's our plan right there. We got to get outside more. How are we going to write that up? Well, we'll talk about that next time. Hopefully next time we can take a step closer to stepping away from COVID.
If I can walk without my back doing bad things, I will be all over that plan. Right now, poor Paulette has had to watch me try and stretch my back out while doing.
She's doing well.
It's better than the other day, man. It was brutal. My poor husband was like, what is wrong? Something's trying to eat me. It snapped me in half. This is what happens when you don't exercise, people. This is consequences. Not cool.
Not cool.
All right. Cool. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We're looking forward to next week where we'll talk about tools for change and gathering skills and getting a plan together. After that, we'll be jumping into, we're going to focus on employment for a little while and some of the things that we've been I mean, Paulette's been doing this for years. I've been working with the Autism Job Club for 3 years and helping my kid navigate it. So we'll give you some tips and tricks around that to get going with employment. And then we'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment in the SoundCloud box or send an email to info@nanoworks.ca and let us know what you would like to hear about, because we got a lot of smarticle particles. We can help you with pretty much a lot. I can't say everything, but quite a bit.
With pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything? Well, you can. You're more smarticle particle than me.
No, I just have a lot of diversity in my clients, that they all have diverse needs and I just go where I have to go.
You read like a loony bird. What are you taking? 5 courses right now?
6.
6 courses right now. Simultaneously on different topics. Tell me, I have ADD. Squirrel!
It works.
It works. It does work. And I enjoy benefiting from it. So thank you. Okay. All right. Thanks everybody for joining us today. Looking forward to speaking to you next time. Video, I'm telling you, when this COVID crisis is over and we can get access to certain products, you'll see our smiling faces.
Yes, we need a lot of changes in our personal appearance and our color of hair.
You know, I'm going to sneak the videos up anyway, so you just have to get on board. Okay. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. I swear that
you are the future. Thank you for joining us on the Across the Desk podcast with our new series, The Future Looks Good. Please check out spirocareerscanada.ca to learn more about the resources available to people on the autism spectrum for employment success.